Welcome to the E-Commerce Society podcast, where you can learn how to start, grow, scale, or launch your dream e-commerce and product-based business, all without ever relying on ads or social media. Each week, you will hear step-by-step, tangible, and fluff-free strategies to help you skyrocket your sales and traffic, gain more visibility for your business, and create those mega loyal customer super fans, which you totally need. Hi, I'm Carrie Fitzgerald, your cheerleader and hype girl. I went from corporate marketing in the education space to building, scaling, and selling my own product-based business. And today, my work and mission is to help founders just like you create and scale the world's most magnetic brands and turn them into fucking empires. So whether you're thinking of starting a product biz or scaling yours, this podcast is the secret sauce to making all those dreams come true. So grab a coffee or grab a champagne and let's dive into it. Welcome to the podcast, Amanda. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I am so excited to join you.
Hey. So before we talk about the whole like starting a service-based business where you do all this really fun party planning for the world's greatest animal, tell us about what your business is and who you help.
Definitely. So my business is a pet party planning business. So we plan events and birthday parties for pets, specifically dogs, more or less. And my ideal client is just that pet parent who loves their pet more than anything. And in this day and age is basically their fur kid to them.
Love it so much. So I'm obsessed with your business. I just think you have built this incredible, like visually beautiful business. If you follow Amanda on Instagram, the birthday planner, you know, it's colorful, it's fun, it's vibrant. It's totally, you know, my style when it comes to having a pet business. But how long have you been in business for? Tell everyone a little bit about the backstory of your business. Like, when did you start it? What made you start the business? Had you had business experience before? Talk a little bit about that journey of the beginning.
Definitely. So it was kind of a wild ride. I had a background before this in science. So I was getting my PhD in neuroscience, was totally on board with doing that for the rest of my life, even though inside I knew it wasn't my passion. So we got married, me and my husband, and he knew my obsession with dogs. Our first year, we ended up having four dogs join our family. And of course, I created them a Instagram, right? You had to back then in 2018. And so I started going to community events, having fun. And then our friends started having birthday parties for their actual human kids. And so I was like, man, I really want to celebrate my kids. So we threw a party together for our golden doodle Teddy, invited friends off of Instagram we literally had never met in our entire life, and just had a really good time. It was fun. It was a different feeling I'd never had. Mm-hmm. And I literally couldn't stop thinking about it. I would sit in lab, I'd be timing my experiments, doing whatever else I was doing. And I would just be thinking about what if I did this for other people? And it kind of lingered there for a bit. And then I did have people ask me, you should do this for other people. Or would you think about helping me? I don't really know where to start. And Teddy's party was super cute. And so then, of course, my brain was taken over with this. And I created a logo on Canva, went down and filed a DBA, made a website randomly, and was like, I'm going to do this as a hobby, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't. It consumed me. It was something that just lit me up inside in a different way than science ever had. And so the next year, actually the same year, I went and put in my official leave of absence from the school. I applied for a random job at a pet resort, being whatever they would hire me for, basically. I was like, I just want to immerse myself in the pet industry, do this really fun hobby business that I've got, and see what happens because I don't love science and I know I need to work with pets. So I randomly became a doggy daycare manager and did that for a few years until I went out on my own in 2022. And now I do this full time.
Wow. And what year is this? Just curious, like how long ago this was?
So this started in 2018.
18, okay. And when did you start the Instagram account? Because I know like we have a past connection just with my first business. Yeah. And I can't remember, what was your original
Instagram, because I think that we were following each other or we chatted back. Literally can't remember.
It was on the dog's account when I found your previous business. Okay. It was the Fur Amigos. So there were four of them at the time. And then now we have seven. So we definitely grew our family over the time.
Okay. So you started with just like a fun hobby kind of deal. And then that kind of transitioned mm-hmm. into doing the whole DBA, making it a business officially. You quit the PhD program. And it's so interesting. It's so interesting how if you are someone who's literally getting a PhD in, what was it? I can't even pronounce that word. Neuroscience. Like it's awkward for me. How it's like that, that's such a specific type of brain. How do you go into such a then creative space? Like it doesn't make any sense to me. What made you do neuroscience?
Honestly, I have no idea how I got there, but it happened. So my plan was to go to physician's assistant school. So
okay.
I was one of those, like, I wanted to be a vet, but I could not handle, you know, the hard times and that. I didn't think I could handle that. And at the time, you know, they don't tell you enough about this when you're venturing into college, like the different paths. There isn't just being a veterinarian working at a zoo. Like those are your two options. There's so many other options out there that are wonderful for people that want to be and work with animals closely. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that. So my dad, love him, he was like, you should go into science. Medical field's always there. Research is always there. Pharmaceuticals, just go do that. So that's what I did. I was not the best at science. I always struggled. I didn't do well on tests. And so when I got done, I was like, I'm just going to get a job somewhere doing something. And then University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston is where I got my first job as a research associate mm-hmm. in this awesome lab. It was actually a fly lab. So I was dissecting fly larvae and doing all kinds of really cool scientific experiments on their neuromuscular junction. It was crazy. It was really cool though. And so I ran that lab for a little while and took courses at night at the community college to kind of build up my resume mm-hmm. for applying to physician's assistant school. And then my boss at the time was like, no, you're so good at this. You should totally apply for the PhD program. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you have such self-doubt in yourself, you're like, you know, like at inside to your core, this is not what you should be doing, mm-hmm. but they're telling you you're good at it. And they feel like you could be something with it. So you're like, I guess they pay for your tuition. They give you a stipend. You know, it's not like I wouldn't be able to have a job. Essentially, they would be paying me like it's my job. So long story short, he convinced me to do it. The minute I got accepted, I panicked. I didn't want to do it. And so I went and got an internship with a wedding planner and started planning weddings with her.
I love you so much. You're so funny.
So literally, I've always had that creative side in me. Yeah. Like I'm always the one playing the bachelorette parties. I'm always going all out. We do birthday weeks in our house for me and Trey. So cutesy little things for the week leading up to their birthday. And then I realized people were not the type of parties I wanted to do. Like weddings were not it for me. I didn't vibe with some of those people mm-hmm. in that type of scenario. So I went and started the PhD route and I was doing good. And I had just came back from presenting at a conference in Hawaii. Mm. And then I was like, no, I hate this. And just, I did it. I never thought I would do it. And I did. And it was awesome. It was the right move. And I look back on it and I wouldn't change
anything. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And it can be hard if you're on this path and you've already put in the back end work of it to then say, okay, you're at that crossroads. Should I do this or should I just keep doing what I'm doing because I've already put in all these years of work? So I know that can be a little bit hard, but thankfully you did because now you have the Bark Day Planner and you're just doing so many cool things. So you started off doing dog birthday parties. Tell us a little bit, just like what kind of parties are you doing? And then we can kind of talk about like your next pivot into the product space. So talk a little bit about the parties. Like how did you kind of get started? I always, for me personally, love hearing founder stories. The the early days, the scrappy days, the days where, you know, you're literally putting together a DIY logo and you're Googling, you know, all the things of starting a business. So I personally, like, I love hearing about that stuff. So yeah, talk a little bit about the early days. Like, what did it look like? How were you getting clients? What were you doing?
Definitely. So, man, back to the scrappy Amanda days. I look back on those first like 10 parties and I was like, wow, the transformation we've made. I didn't have any actual business experience when I started. My parents had always owned their own business, so I could ask for some tips here and there, but it wasn't the same. It was an RV park. So that's totally different than a service and a product base, you know? But I kind of just followed the simple steps that you find on Google. Like, what do I need to do when I first start? My Canva logo, I look back on it and I'm like, wow, that was interesting. It was blue, which, hello, and pink. I don't know why I did blue. But the only way people were finding me was word of mouth or my Instagram, or if I went to a market, say, and I was a vendor for them. I look back on it. I wasn't using any good marketing tactics. I didn't have an email list. I literally was using plastic tablecloths, which, no offense, however you want to celebrate your pet is totally you. But I wasn't doing the high-end vibes that I'm doing now that mimic children's parties that you see everywhere online. I was literally creating just a small, quick table and a cake, treats, just some cutesy stuff.
Yep.
Literally into like the wee late hours and then going to work in the morning because we opened the pet resort at 6 a.m. So it was like work full time, do my parties on the side. I would be, my poor husband would be like stuffing doggy bags with like poop bags and tennis balls and cute treats and tying them for me at like midnight on his day off. When I needed help setting up, he was coming with me. So he was the best free assistant ever for a while. Yeah, it was, I look back on those days and I had no idea what I was doing. Honestly, I was just having fun and hoping it would blossom into something else. But there was a point where I thought I had lost my business. Like, it wasn't going to continue. I didn't have the market for it where we moved for a year and a half. And I really struggled with staying and pushing and pivoting, or just kind of letting it fizzle out in a way.
Okay. And when was that? So you live in Texas. I know that you, because I know you personally, like, I know that you've moved around a lot, but when did you feel like the business wasn't going to work out? It was just because you moved to like this different location and your clients are always in like a certain mile radius from you or something.
Yeah, so it was when we moved to Arkansas, and the pet scene was not near as big or flourishing or known as it was in Houston and Dallas, where my main clientele are now.
Okay.
It was hard, and I was traveling 7 hours back and forth to Houston. I was flying into Dallas and having my cousin pick me up. I mean, it was scrappy, and I wasn't prepared to do those things, but they were clients that booked with me prior to me moving. So I was honoring that. But then people were still booking me and I was having to go to those cities. And for a while there, I just felt like, for one, I wasn't doing the right marketing or anything to really boost more people to see me. But when you would talk about it or reach out to somebody about a party in that area, it wasn't the right clientele. It wasn't the right area for that. And so thankfully we were only there for like 15 months and then we moved to Dallas, and it was a really, really great opportunity that we got, but also a learning experience for me to really like hone in and not give up and figure out the things on the back end that you can continue to push, like the product side of things. That is something I can ship to people wherever I am, no matter what city I live in, and they will get that awesome product to celebrate their pet.
I love it. Okay. So let's talk about the product side. So you moved away, you realized, okay, I need to like essentially diversify my income streams and not solely rely on local clients. So what has been the physical product side of things? Walk us through the journey of that. Like, what made you think about that? What were the first steps? What's the first product? walk us through that journey. Because like a service-based business is totally different than a physical product side. It is literally night and day. And anyone who tells you, you know, you can make $1 million doing drop shipping or passive income, having an e-commerce business. Like I love seeing when I see that online, like, oh, one passive income stream is an e-commerce business. I'm like, in what world are you living in? Is that passive income? Like, it is the opposite of passive income. So yeah. Anyway, walk us through what that looks like. Cause that's a big and different transition, and you've just moved to a new city again. So
it was a lot. So I started wanting to offer something that was for a different, client base, which was a party box. I wanted to be able to have a cute cake, a couple treats, a party hat, set it in this really fun, bright box and have everybody wanting to get one, right? Mm-hmm. No, I maybe sold like 5. In the first year. And I was like, why isn't this happening? I've taken really awesome photos for branding. I put them on Instagram. I've put them on my website. But back then I didn't have any idea about needing an email list to get in front of a bigger audience or just marketing in general, keywords, SEO. Like it took me a long time to like figure out everything. And so I was one of those people like, why isn't my product selling? I feel like I'm doing everything right.
Yeah.
And so those kind of like, they weren't at a good price point either. I couldn't get the cake down to a point that made it make sense price-wise for people. So the cake kind of went away, and that's where me and you worked together to put more of like a simplistic, easier box together that was at a better price point for me and the client still was able to feel comfortable with that. And I sold a good amount of those, not a ton, but I'd say 10 to 12 in the rest of that year that we had them going. Okay. But I still didn't feel like they were flying off the shelves like I wanted.
Yeah.
And so I was trying a few different things. I was putting out different types of bandanas or toys or things like that. Going to markets, those were doing really well. I was selling different things there, but it still wasn't, I didn't understand the product side of things because I am a service-based business. Mm-hmm. So for me, trying to understand that product side was like, I couldn't get past like some of the things I didn't know. And then I didn't know where to figure it out. And then when I went to Ultimate Product Party is when everything really like pivoted and shifted for me. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to have more products. So I was like, why don't I go to a product conference, right? And figure it out. Mm-hmm. I got very overwhelmed. I cried my first day. I felt like I was in the wrong place that I didn't know what I was doing. And my husband was just like, you've got this, you're learning, you're trying to ask people for help, you're trying to learn from the people who did the same thing, just like take a breath.
Yeah.
And then I was like bound determined to leave my day job because I wanted to do this full time. So for the next like 4 months, I worked super long nights, figuring it out, wanting to like do all of this stuff. And one of my vendors who made pet party hats and accessories decided to no longer have that business. She was going in a different direction with her family and her day job, and she wasn't going to do it anymore. So we got on a call. I asked her if she was selling some of her inventory. I'd love to buy it. That way I could continue to sell those. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know what? You just told me you're probably going to leave your 9 to 5 in the next few weeks. Like you've built yourself up to where you could put in your notice. Why don't you buy Buster's Party Shop from me and like sell these party hats? It works perfect for your brand. Mm-hmm. And I have all the inventory and everything. And so that's how that came about, basically. Took on that business. It's been awesome. It's taken me a while to figure out some of the like product side of things, but we're moving and grooving and doing wholesale now. And it's been an awesome journey, but a very tedious and confusing going from service to product, honestly.
Let's unpack a little bit because you just glossed over a lot of stuff and you made it sound very easy, which I love. I love you so much. So let's backtrack a little bit. So you decided you wanted to start doing products because I know your business and I feel like we're not painting the picture here. And I also want to talk about the branding of the product side because you really 100, like, you know, I'm a branding and packaging like psycho.
Yeah.
Your branding and packaging is one of the best I have ever seen in my whole life, like hands down. So let's not gloss over all that, because you really put in and you invested in the business to make sure the physical products, like the branding, the packaging was like on point. So I know that you worked with, was it Doc's Design, right? Okay. So like this was probably a few years ago. You decided I want to start selling these beautiful party boxes. I did buy one of yours, which was, I think I bought the brunch box for my dog Kennedy, and like amazing. You wanted to sell a bunch of like goodies and basic gift people. If they didn't want to do your birthday party, they could like have their own little party at their house, which and I want to kind of talk about that, because when someone is moving into the physical product side of things, it can be really confusing. What product do I start with? What product do I sell? Like, there's no manual in the business space that tells you that, unless you kind of talk to someone and they can give you ideas. But I think you actually launched like the perfect product for that complements what you did for the service business. And that's kind of what you want to do. If you have a business where you're, you know, selling a service, or you're doing things for someone like an agency or something, you know, you want to have something that's complimentary that they can just buy from you. So you nailed the initial product 100%. Sometimes it just takes tweaking of how can I make it work. If you have a birthday cake, you know, I definitely can see all sorts of issues with shipping a birthday cake. I mean, everything from melting to it crumbling to a million other things that can happen with a fragile product, which is definitely a no-no. However, you know, you nailed it in terms of the product. Like, you wanted to create this little in-person party experience. So I love that so much. And then you worked with a branding company to make it look professional. So I want to talk about that, because like I said, your packaging, and if you go to Google, I don't know if it's on your website right now, but if you go on the barkdayplanner.com, check out her packaging for the party boxes. Like, if you still have them listed, they are freaking perfection. Like, I'm not joking. They are perfection. And I don't say that about a lot of people. So you nailed the packaging. What was it like? When did you decide I'm going to invest in the business and I'm going to pay for probably a very expensive packaging person to do the packaging for me? Walk us through what that looked like. Did they kind of like take your vision and run with it? Did you already have the logo? Because I know that you said you kind of did a Canva logo that was blue. And then I know that your current logo was super fun and pink. So just walk us through kind of that visual branding stuff, because for a lot of people, they go and myself included, I've been in business now for 8 years. I just invested in my first proper branding person after 8 years of having businesses. So there's no shame in like, for anyone listening, if you have not paid the big bucks to work with a branding agency, because it's really expensive. And I have always been the first one to tell people, don't like, do the scrappy stuff first, sell, validate your product idea, make money, and then you work with the branding people or the, you know, people to do the logo. But yeah, walk us through that a little bit, because your branding, you nailed it 1,000,000%. And a lot of people go the DIY route, making my own Canva logo. They don't understand the importance of the visual, like the colors, the fonts, how that all comes together. And especially when you're doing a product that's high price, like, you have to have good branding. So walk us through a little of that experience. I'm also just personally curious.
Yeah, I was kind of like replaying what I had first to what I have now for my branding. And I'm like, whoa, what in the world was I doing? I wish I had one of my old boxes, but I literally threw them all away once I got my new boxes, because they were, of course, DIY'd. And they didn't fit me, but I always, of course, worked in like a corporate job where you couldn't have pink hair. You couldn't do all of those things. So I went with blue. The branding side, when I decided to change it, my logo had a paw print and some script font. It didn't at all explain what I did, who I was. And sometimes people even ask me, like, the Bark Day Planner, what is that? And I thought it was pretty self-explanatory, but it's not, unless you make your brand and the different aspects that go into your brand understandable for every person. So when I decided to work with Kayla and her team, it was in 2020. It was the craziest time, no business, right? Nobody could go anywhere or do anything. Yeah. But I knew that I wanted to make my business something big in the next 5 years. And so I knew I needed to get new branding, a new logo. I needed it to be me and be bright and fun and eye-catchy. So my dad was always the big business person. After he passed away in 2020, that's when I was like, I want to take this extremely serious. So I jumped on a call with Kayla. I literally had just finished my own dog's birthday party at daycare with all 7 of them in the car. I was driving home talking to her on the phone. And we just clicked, you know, when you have that moment. So I would say, like, when you're looking for a branding person, make sure they vibe with you. I mean, she has weenie dogs. They're a part of her brand. She's very, you know, dog centric. And I felt like we just really vibed on what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the colors, I created kind of like a mood board, Pinterest board with colors I loved, things I had seen from other brands or in different, you know, places, and they nailed it. I mean, I love the little tail wag that's on the end of mine. That brings out the dog side of it. The confetti shows that it's something fun and bright and probably party related or celebratory. And so she still kept, you know, the basic part, but she created awesome fonts that resonated with me. And then the box, oh my gosh, it took me a while, but it's all like, I don't know if you realize it, but in some of the stuff that we created, it's like little things from like rap songs. Like the box says, go blank, it's your bark day.
Oh yes.
So that's the one song. And then we created a couple of other things that kind of fizzled out, but it was really, really funny the way that her and her team's brain worked to create the dog vibe for me with the sprinkles and different aspects. It wasn't just paw prints and bones. Like that is just so, it's not working for people. And that's what I did. But the branding and the box that she made for me, I was in love with it. And it's Pantone colors, which is bright, which costs more sometimes to print because they are a different color scheme and the way they print, I guess. I don't know much about it, but it's perfection. I love it so much. I would have never thought that I would do that when I was doing it, but it was an investment and I jumped in. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to have any hesitations. And my brand is so colorful and exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's like one of the best I've ever seen. And I think if you are wanting to do like the higher end stuff, you have to have good branding. It doesn't mean you have to splash out and work with like the most expensive person, but finding a person who understands your vibe and style and like can take your vision and make it into something perfection that you're really proud of and that it'll help you get to the next level. So I love that you said, look, in the next 5 years, I want this to be a big business, and you just kind of went for it. You invested. So I love that so much. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to do the party boxes. Then I'm going to look at some other thing, and then I'm just going to acquire a business. You kind of casually mentioned that. Definitely not a casual thing. You're so funny. What was the process of that? Because I'm in the process now of looking at acquiring a Shopify app or two or maybe more. Who knows? Like, life is short. Let's buy the business. Let's do all the crazy things. Let's go crazy. But you, for people listening that are wanting to expand, buying or acquiring something else that someone has built up is an amazing idea. So I know that it maybe wasn't exactly what you were planning, but like, how did that work out? How many phone, like, what was the conversations like with the person who was selling? And are you allowed to share? I think you're allowed to share what, it's party hats. Never mind. That's a stupid question. Just walk us through what that process was like.
It was definitely a new one for me. I wasn't sure if I wanted to, because I was like, man, that's an investment again. I am not sure. I know it fits perfectly with my brand, but should I do it? So of course we had the long conversations. We went back and forth on email. I looked at the appropriate, you know, profit loss, like what they were bringing in. Mm-hmm. All of those behind the scenes things. And thankfully I had my mom there who had had been a business owner to kind of walk me through some of it. I think I even asked you a couple questions during it. Mm-hmm. I look back on it and I was scared to death at the time because it was something foreign to me and I was scared and the products weren't working at the time that I had put out there already. Mm-hmm. So it was scary. But it was one of those things that I just took another leap of faith. I was like, you know what? I've been selling them in my boxes. I've been selling them at these vendor events. Mm-hmm. I use them at every one of my clients' parties. So let's just do it. And then I got really sick. We moved to Dallas. After that, I got really, really sick. I couldn't go to Idaho and get all of the stuff. So there was a ton of inventory that the business had. And so thankfully, it was kind of an odd way, but my husband flew to Idaho, packed everything up, shipped it down here. And then I started right off the bat for Halloween and Christmas because it was already so much made. It was easy to start the business, start making the money. So when you acquire something, depending on what it is, it was easy for me to start just putting the listing out. She gave me a lot of assistance on the back end of creating those different listings and all of the pictures and things that went with each one. Yeah. And it was a lot of work, but it was super exciting because I was like, wow, I have more than just birthday. I have Christmas. I have New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, summer hats. So it was really, really exciting. And then we had a little hurdle. I know you know about this, but we had a little hurdle with Etsy, which kind of set us back a little bit. And now we just offer them on our website. So the traffic hasn't been near as much as it would have been if I was still established on Etsy with that brand, selling those hats to the people that type it in, you know, I need a party hat. And then boom, you pop up.
Can you please, if you don't mind, share whatever information you're comfortable with about what happened with Etsy?
So, oh, Etsy. It's one of those things where love-hate relationship, right? It's so easy to go on there and look, but their customer service is probably one of the worst I've ever seen. I launched this. They sent me an email about...
the new hat business, right? Just to clarify.
Yes. So the hats on Etsy, we created a new store that still had the name that was my store, right? And so when I got an email from them after I launched on Black Friday, I had probably 35, 40 orders come in 2 days. Mm-hmm. I got an email that said, hey, you need to update your banking information. I guess it didn't sync or whatever it was that was going on. If you don't update it, once you reach X amount of dollars, we will have to temporarily suspend your store, which was kind of weird. So I got the email that morning. Mm-hmm. I go to log in and it says that you don't have access. So I looked at how much money I had made in those 2 days and compared it to the amount that they said I would reach and then they would temporarily expend. And it did not match up. I was like $100-something, way less than what they had put as the value. Mm-hmm. So I looked up, how do you get in contact with Etsy, right? You have to just put in, like, you need to go for your store and put in a case, basically. Start a case, open it with them, and they will review. Mm-hmm. But the review process, I waited like 3 weeks and heard nothing. So every week I sent an email mm-hmm. with my case number, what it was involved, never, crickets, no one responded. And then finally, like 6 months later, they sent me an email saying that since I didn't open a case to figure out why, they were suspending my shop permanently. And I emailed back, I have all of my information here, nothing.
Oh my.
So I finally stopped sending them emails every week because I was frustrated and mentally it was driving me insane. So it was either hire a lawyer and spend that money to get something out of Etsy or continue to feel exhausted by an email every week asking someone to just get in contact with me. So I just moved everything to the website and started selling from there. And it's been pretty good. It's taken a little bit, obviously, because it's not, I mean, being on Etsy, it's such a huge search engine. I mean, it's so great to have your product on there. But unfortunately, we had some issues and they need to work on their customer service.
So when you acquired the hat business, was the expectation expectation that in your mind that they had already built up this, and I think their Etsy store was quite lucrative. So they had built up this big Etsy business as well as I think their own, let's just say Shopify store. I don't know if they were using Shopify, Squarespace, whatever. Was your expectation in your mind that, okay, I'm going to buy this hat business so I can diversify my income streams, I can sell more product, they're already established. Were you trying to blend the two businesses, or maybe let's just focus on the Etsy side of things. Was your expectation that you would take over their store? Was the expectation that you would create your own store, but like you would get their traffic because people were searching for it? Like, walk me through what you were thinking. What was your expectation? Did you assume that Etsy would be a huge driver for you and then not? Like, walk us through what that looked like.
Yeah. So Etsy, I knew was going to be the biggest driver because they were already very established. The keywords, people knew to go to Etsy to purchase from them for the majority of the years that she did this through her Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that she had already closed her Etsy because she didn't plan to sell this business. She actually was just going to quit the business and sell the already made hats and other inventory out to people who wanted it, basically. And then me and her just got talking and she was asking me how my life was. And I told her what was going on. And then it just kind of was an idea that we talked about. And then it actually happened.
Okay.
But I knew that I would have to start the Etsy store on my own, which is fine. And she would assist throughout the entire process. And that's what happened. And it was great and wonderful. We had everything set up. I mean, tons of listings set up. And then they were just gone in an instant.
Did you ever find out, or did you ever talk to someone else who this has happened to? Like, why do you think that happened? You started a brand new store, or did you use an old store and then just change the name? Like,
yeah. So I had a store a long time ago. I was selling like custom cups and t-shirts when I was just bored in my PhD. And so I just had this store and changed the name. And so it turns out that the banking information that I put in for my bank, it didn't sync or whatever happened with the banking information. I even sent them. I was like, here's all my banking information. Yeah. Like, please let me know how I need to go through the process of having you give me access again. Because not only did they temporarily suspend it prematurely to the amount of money they said I needed to make, they also never gave me those funds. They kept them for themselves. So that was frustrating too. And I actually had loyal customers reach out and say like, hey, thank you for still sending my order. I understand what was going on. I haven't received a refund, but if I do, I'm sending you the money. And people did for my product. They received a refund from Etsy. And even though I sent the product and told them in emails that I sent everything and like outlined it on an Excel sheet for them, they still refunded. And like four or five clients sent me. They were like, how can I send you this money? It was really, really sweet. So the loyalty in that brand was awesome from the get-go.
So it just seems like this was a bout of just really bad luck. And unfortunately, you know, it's kind of, for most people, that would be the straw where they would just close the entire business. Like, I can't deal with any more roadblocks or issues. I'm done. Peace out. But you just kind of kept chugging along and, you know, said, all right, I'm going to have to drive my own traffic and figure things out. Have you, and I know that we talked before the recording and I can't recall exactly what you said, but are you opening up another Etsy store with that brand name, or is everything under the Barkday Planner brand?
Yeah. So everything is under the Barkday Planner brand. It was really hard having two separate brands that coincided so much on one website, or having two websites. It was honestly exhausting for me and slightly confusing for clients. So I just combined the two. Obviously, I still talk about, you know, we have the Buster's Party Shop hat line as a part of our brand. Because I do love still talking about that. I mean, it was something really near and dear to the founder. It was named after one of her babies, and she got really, you know, emotional when we talked about it. And I wanted to continue so people would still know it was the same brand that they loved and knew and were handmade by pet parents for them. Yeah. But it was just under my core LLC in my business.
Gotcha. And so now you are still doing parties. How's the product side of things? Like, how has that been in terms of transitioning, and not even just transitioning, but like kind of navigating both? Because I do think there's a mindset of how do I drive traffic to my store for the parties, and how do I drive traffic and awareness for people to buy the physical products? And I think when we're looking at a service-based business where you're planning parties versus selling physical products, you know, I'm a Shopify like ninja. I will always tell people Shopify is for product, but for a party planning business, Shopify likely isn't maybe the best platform to use to host your website. I'm sure you could do it, but like, I don't know, it's probably other websites. How are you kind of navigating just those kind of nuances between the physical product, the service business, the different traffic drivers, the different marketing avenues? Like, walk us through what you're doing for that, because I think strategies would be literally night and day for both. So how do you do both without going crazy?
They literally are night and day. Yeah. And it's taken me a long time to like separate and or like, so during Christmas, that is not a big party planning time for me. I may have like a pet business Christmas party or assisting with like a rescue Santa photos, but it is not a super busy time for me. The holidays are a little slower. And so that's when I really started realizing the last 2 years, you need to figure out when to prioritize each one, right? Because you can't do it all at the same time. It's exhausting. So the holidays are my hat time. Like, it really is the time I pour in. Starting in August, we're prepping hats. We're looking at what gift guides we can try and pitch and get into, things like that. And so that's helped me to kind of understand that side of things.
Yeah.
But of course, like anyone navigating both, I sometimes then forget a little bit about my party planning side. So then when January comes, it's all about party planning and making sure I can reach out to those clients that I've previously done parties, see if they want to rebook for this year. And then it's like Valentine's Day just pops up, right? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to get Valentine's Day hats already. They should be out January 2nd, you know? And so it's been hard to market them, to understand on social media even. Like, how do you talk about both and not overwhelm your community? And not forget to talk about the hats, but also not talk about the other avenues you have. So it's been really hard to navigate. I'm still learning, honestly. I'm still learning how to properly market them in the right way and not overwhelm my email list either, because I'm not kidding you. The email list has been the best thing that I ever started and continued, because those are the people that want to be there, mm-hmm. and they like your product, they like your service, and they're going to purchase from you. It's going to happen instead of your social medias, right?
I love that. What would you say is the biggest, if you're looking at your business, what's like the thing that you just makes you the most crazy? So this is not really a business growth question, but just kind of curious, like, what is the thing that just makes you crazy with your business? I know I have about a million of those things, but I'm just curious what yours is.
There's so many. honestly, I think the biggest thing is, well, one of them is I don't necessarily enjoy making the hats all the time. Sometimes I'm like, oh, these are so cute, and you're having a good day. But when you're overwhelmed and you have a lot of things on your plate, and then you need to go restock and make a ton of hats all at once for the next quarter, that's when it gets exhausting. But I have awesome ladies who help me with that now. So I've figured that part out to take a little bit of the stress off. But I think another thing that really bothers me in my business is being one of the only people that offers this type of service that is so niche down that some people are like, oh, you can totally put your price at whatever you want because it's not known. So why aren't you charging more? And then there's other people who are like, I would never pay that. What are you talking about? So it's been really hard to navigate putting the pet industry and the event industry together as one, and helping people understand everything that we do for one of our big events for our clients. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the most frustrating is you have this awesome new unicorn of a business, right? Mm-hmm. But it's so confusing on how to navigate the right way for pricing and explaining what all goes into it to the clients and finding the right client, because there's so many pet parents but there's a certain select community of pet parents that are looking for my type of service.
Right. What would be your dream, if you could just say anyone, who would be your dream person that you would host a birthday party for their dog?
Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh my gosh. That's a good
one. I know. I love her so much. I just love what she does for, you know, the rescue that she has and all the efforts she does. And she obviously loves animals. She's got many horses and dogs and the beautiful swans. When you walk up to her house, I would love to do something for her. That would be my dream.
So I don't know if you know this, but the only like store that I ever pitched to get, so my first business, the Dapper Dog Box. So I sold, you know, I also did like birthday party boxes and things like that. So I feel like we're always just literally on the same page, the same way. Like we have so many weird things in common, but did you know that was the only Lisa Vanderpump's Rescue in LA was the only place that I ever sold the boxes to be featured in her store? I don't know if I ever told you that.
Seriously?
Yeah. I just reached out to them.
That's awesome.
I pitched myself to sell some of the, and to be honest, I didn't sell a lot. I sent them, I'm not sure, I forget how many I even sent them. And then it just kind of died off after that. So this was not some lucrative opportunity here. It was one of those opportunities that I thought, oh my gosh, this could be it for me. And then it was like fizzled. It was nothing. However, it still happened. And my claim to fame with wholesale is literally I sold my boxes in Lisa Vanderpump's Rescue in, I think it's like West Hollywood. I mean, that's fucking cool. So just write that shit down. I mean, I know we're not going to talk about woo stuff. However, I do believe in the power of writing specific goals down and just literally always looking at that goal and saying, how do I make that happen? Like one of my goals is I have a dream to interview the guy who owns Shopify. Ooh. Like hands down, one of my goals. I also have a dream to interview the founder of Poppy. Okay. So that's equal goal.
That would be awesome. Poppy, right up your alley.
Shopify is probably number one, but Allison, the founder, co-founder of Poppy. I mean, I have a lot of those goals and I literally write them down and I look at them and I'm like, okay, how can I make that happen? So I think the Vanderpump, Lisa Vanderpump is totally a possibility. I think you just have to keep working on reaching out, but that's what I did. And they wrote back to me. I mean,
I need to just send them an email then. I am going to World Dog Day, you know, the big event that she does every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go and I'm going to find her.
You need to. I mean,
not in a stalkish way.
No, but this feels like a goal that could, it doesn't feel like out of thin air. It feels like this goal could actually happen for you. You just need to pitch them. You can do it. I can see this for you. I love that so much. Okay. Well, this was absolutely amazing. I feel like I have a million more questions for you, but what advice, I guess maybe one more question. So for people who, the audience that we have on the podcast here, these are people who have product-based businesses or they're starting a product-based business, just because you've sort of done both here, what advice would you give to someone who might be looking at what you're doing or other people and they're like, you know what, I started a candle business and I really cracked the code, or I started a dog treat company. And I really understand like how to start the business, how to grow it. What advice would you give someone who might be thinking of venturing off into like the service side of things, not necessarily like coaching or online education, but and obviously it's not going to be party planning, but just someone who might want to take that experience that they've learned with their product-based business and do something else that's related, but like in the service industry, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would say, find someone that you can talk to, right? Someone who does a certain service. It doesn't have to be the same type of service that you offer, but a friend or somebody that you're willing to, you know, say like, hey, I would love to pick your brain. Like, do you offer time for me to, you know, do one-on-one with you and just ask those questions? Because I wish I had done that a bit more before I jumped into the branding photos for the products and not really sitting down and thinking about all the the fine tuning logistics of what if my baker gets sick who makes my cakes that I need to send this week in this box, you know?
Yeah.
And just really sit down and think about all the questions that you have. You want to start this service. You know there's a need for it. You know there's someone who wants this service from you and you're ready, but just brain dump all the questions and thoughts and possibilities that you have, and then take your time before just jumping in. I know they always say like, you got to get it out there or you'll never do it. But
yeah.
I would say like, kind of find that in between fine line. Like you've got to do it, but make sure you feel a bit more confident on what you're about to give to the people that you know need this. Because I will say on the flip side, the product side, I jumped in so fast thinking, I know these people need this. If they don't want to do a party year after year, they want my box. And it didn't work out that way because I had not a clue what I was doing and I didn't look into any of it. I just jumped in with my heart and my passion. And sometimes that's obviously great. You need those two things, but sometimes sitting there and really listening to other people, grabbing that advice, maybe even just Googling some of it. It'll really help you to feel more confident when you put that out there for your audience.
I love that. And then, okay, one more question. What do you see as the next like 5 years of the Barb's Day Planner? You kind of mentioned earlier on that you had this vision, you know, I'm going to make some moves. I'm going to go all in on the next 5 years. So it's about 5 years now since then, and you've done a lot of the things that you actually wanted to do. So what about the next 5 years? Like, where do you see the business going?
Oh my gosh, I have so many goals, but one of them would be to expand my team, right? Right now we service all of Texas, but I would love to get it more in place where I can service other people in different states who want this service, right? That's one of my biggest goals. And then another goal is I really, really want to open up a rescue. I know that everyone always tells me I'm crazy, but that's something that I want to do for myself because I want to give back in a different way. And I mean, I'm one of those that I will stop my car and try and pick up the dog that's in the middle of traffic because I just want to save them. And so starting a rescue associated with my brand would be awesome. I would love to do that. And then just continuing to get the word out about this. I still feel like people don't know who I am sometimes. And they don't know I exist. I get that all the time. I didn't know you existed until I found you on Instagram, or I just Googled dog party planner and you popped up. And so I want to be able to just be a bit more out there. And then I also really want to speak. I've been tinkering with it and I really want to speak to different people because it is extremely hard to leave your 9-to-5, right? But then it's also really hard for me to sit back and think there's all these people who probably have these amazing ideas, who think they're silly or stupid, as I was told a lot of times with my business. Like, this is a stupid idea. It'll never work. And I don't want, we're missing out on so many amazing products or ideas or services that people feel aren't worthy. And I want people to feel like they can do those things. Like, no idea is a silly idea. And even though you might be the weird unicorn, you'll find your place and you will be confident and flourish. And it's crazy to think about so many things that we miss because of self-doubt from yourself and everyone around you because they don't understand your business.
No, I totally agree. And whoever told you your idea was stupid, I mean, what a dick.
I know. So many, actually. There were so many times where I just felt so like isolated, you know, so alone. And I mean, even at the first year of UPP, I felt that way, even though it wasn't. Everyone was so welcoming and talking to me and I was meeting so many friends, but I still felt that way myself because I hadn't built the confidence up in myself, which is what I needed to do because I am the brand. I'm the head planner. I created this. I helped design every single party that we do.
Yeah.
I needed to find that confidence in myself. And so then I dyed my hair pink.
Love it so much. What do you think has been the biggest driver for your business today in terms of visibility and people? Because you said that, you know, one of your issues is, or one of your goals is like, you just need to be more visible. I don't think you used the word visible, but you said, I need more people to find me and discover me. What do you feel like to date, or maybe even the last year, has been your biggest driver in getting visibility? Like, what's, for a marketing standpoint, what's like one thing that you've done that has gotten you some more visibility?
The biggest thing has been media features. A lot of them have been TV features, so local. I also had the really big one with ABC, which was awesome. It brought me a ton of email subscribers, which again, those are people that see my stuff, are interested, join my group, and they get emails from me all the time. They want to be there. So really just getting myself out there, pitching, being more, you know, present in the community, mm-hmm. and on those big, you know, TV media features has been huge. I had never done that before last year. So last year was when I finally started pitching and doing, and I haven't been in a lot of print, but I think being on the actual, you know, segment mm-hmm. and having people see some of the products we do, having them hear me say what it is we do and understand a bit more, like, okay, this makes sense. It's not just like a cake, balloons, and like, here you go. It's actually an experience for your family, friends, all of your fur babies, friends. And I think that really has helped gain the exposure for more people understanding what I do and also knowing who I am.
Can you just talk about the ABC thing? I feel like you've done so many awesome things, and just, it's like being glossed over. I feel like we need like 3 hours for this recording, but how did that ABC feature happen? And just give people like a quick overview of what it was. How did that happen for you? Did you pitch them? Did they reach out to you? What, like, tell us all the details, please. Pretty good.
Of course. So it was a crazy, crazy journey. So one of my goals when I left my first year of UPP was to get on Good Morning America. So I pitched a ton of people that I could find their emails, and I sent this pitch about National Dog Day and my anniversary when I started the business and made the Instagram is also National Dog Day, or the logo, whichever one it is. So I started my business on National Dog Day, and I didn't know that for a while, but I pitched them, crickets, right? It's like, man, followed up, nothing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden this ABC producer sends me a message, and I'm like, there's no way this is just coincidence. Like, I think it somehow got passed along, or like maybe someone was about to work on a pet segment and was like, hey, I got this. No clue what it is, but it's about pets, right?
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, this is crazy. Is he real? So I looked him up. He was real. And so we jumped on a phone call the next day. Mm-hmm. He explained that he was mainly a producer for ABC with Nightline, and they were doing an impact series on Hulu. So it's I think season 2 or season 3. Mm-hmm. They do it on really big celebrity things or pop culture or things in that are like just forefront. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. He's like, you know, I really love your story. I didn't know all of this. I love that you do these big parties. You know, maybe we could come to one. And I was like, whoa, what? You want to come to one of the parties? Yes. Come on. And so he was from Houston. So he's from Texas too. And it was just a really cool conversation. Mm-hmm. He did not understand how much went into it. So I talked to my client. He wanted to know what I had coming up. And I had Mean Girls, Paris, and Vanderpump. So I was like, all right, I think the Mean Girls would be really cool to come. And I'm glad that I picked that one because it got aired the week Mean Girls' new movie came out.
Oh.
So it was really, really cool. It worked out in a great way for some more promotional. But next thing you know, my client says yes. She's like, of course, I support you. I don't care if there's cameras there. Go ahead. So we got her blessing. And then they got a crew together. They sent a correspondent that works for Good Morning America a lot. She's really awesome. She's a cat mom. I love her. They came. They hung out the whole party. She tried the Virgin Pup Tails, which is just a smoothie. But she tried it. We had so much fun. Then they went and spent the rest of the evening with my clients. They were doing like a staycation because she gets really stressed out with travel. So they stayed at a hotel close by, and it was just a really, really cool experience. Something I did not expect. They followed me around while I was like picking up the cake during the day as I was walking into the venue. And then the next day they did a full interview with me back at the venue. So we kept everything set up for the most part. And we did an interview, and it was really, really cool. I mean, obviously, really awesome questions. And then some were like, those controversial, like, why do you think you should do this for a dog? And I always say, well, you do it for your kid's first birthday. Mm-hmm. Do they know what's happening? No, but you want to celebrate their life with you, yeah, that they're here. And so it's the same for my clients. And it was it was a really cool experience. I was shocked when it was actually going to air on actual TV because they decided they loved the segment. They were going to put it on actual ABC programming. So it didn't go to Hulu and it wasn't just an episode. It was actually a piece. And I was like screaming at the top of my lungs when I read the email. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Stayed up till midnight to watch it, bawled my eyes out, had a blast. Aww. Received right after it ended. I had like 30 something new email subscribers like this.
Oh my God.
That's the thing I got the most out of this was email subscribers, not followers on Instagram, not people inquiring to have parties, but email subscribers to be there in my community. You know, it was really, really cool. And I was like, wow, how did this happen? You know, and it's all from just putting yourself out there.
Oh my God. There's like so many awesome things here. So many good takeaways. And it probably was because you pitched, I forget, you said Good Morning America. Like it probably was related in some way because I do think those coincidences happen. And it's like you kind of put stuff out there and made it happen. You know what I mean? So I love that so much. Plus, obviously, the credibility piece, especially, you know, especially for like the product-based business side, there's so much competition with everything. If you can say, hey, I was featured on ABC, I was featured on this place, I was featured here. And you have that front and center on your website when a consumer is like scrolling through and they're like, oh, I don't know. Can I trust the birthday planner? I don't know about them. And they see, oh, she's been featured in ABC. It's like, oh, boom, trustworthy. Like I now trust them because if ABC trusts them, I do too. So those features are just insane for building trust. And trust building is so it's something that people overlook when they have a product-based business. They're like, oh, no one cares. I was featured in ABC. Yes, they do. Because when they see that you're featured in ABC, they're like, oh, she's a fucking trustworthy business. I will buy from her. So I think that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So many good things. And what are your next like media goals? So besides Good Morning America, which obviously will happen, Vanderpump, maybe we can get on Vanderpump Rules. I don't watch that show anymore, but I believe it's still happening. So
yeah. It is. After my Vanderpump Rules party, I had to get back into it. So I understood what the heck I was doing for this party.
Yeah.
And so now I'm hooked again. I'm like any of them. If you've got a dog, call me. You know what I mean? But media wise, you know, I haven't really sat down and created more. I mean, Good Morning America is obviously like a huge one for me. Mm-hmm. But right now, before all of this stuff happened, before I left my 9-to-5, an actual producer who works for like movies and reality TV shows approached me. And me and her are super close now. And we've been pitching for my business to have a reality TV show over the last 2 years. And I'm actually finally going to meet her when I go to LA for the World Dog Day, sorry. And so, yeah, we're just waiting for the right production company that thinks this would be awesome. And hopefully we can make it happen. She says we will. So I trust her. She's done a lot of awesome stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a big one that I want to focus on now that the strike and everything with, you know, the movie scene and all of that has kind of subsided. People start opening back up to taking on new shows and projects. So that's something I'm really focused on. And then also just local. I really love doing my parties. So, you know, maybe being on one of the local TV shows here in the Dallas area. And then maybe one in Austin too, because I'm working with a client in Austin right now. And I haven't ever done anything in that city media-wise. So I think it'd be really cool.
That's amazing. I love it. So many good goals, so many good like lessons here for people to learn about just being resilient and like going for the big goals, even when they seem literally impossible and scary because you just never know. And if you don't, it's the, you know, the quote, you miss 100% of the shot. Sorry, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. I love that quote so much because it's kind of simple, but it's also really true. I think so many people get afraid to try things or afraid to put themselves out there. And you just kind of have to get over it and just do it. And that's part of being an entrepreneur. And if you don't do those things, you'll have a hard time growing. So I love that so much. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can follow you, where they can connect with you. of course, where they can book their birthday party. And you also do consulting. You didn't mention that either. So if you want to mention that service, yeah, feel free to mention all the things.
Sure. Because we had so many people in other states sending me DMs messages, I wish you were in my city. I wish you weren't so far away, or I wish I could travel to Texas. I started offering a virtual party planning, essentially, where I design, coordinate to the level they want, create a shopping list for them, help them with finding, you know, the vendors they need in their area to create this a little bit on their own. So that's been really, really fun doing that. You can find us at our website at www.thebarkdayplanner.com. And then all of our socials are just at the Barkday Planner, all one word.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. Appreciate you sharing all the amazing things from your business. And you're amazing. And I just love hearing all your awesome stories and just seeing all the really fun things that you're doing and cool things coming ahead. So I'm excited for you.
Yes. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you love this episode, please go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and then take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram stories. Tag me in it at Carrie A. Fitzgerald. My name is in the show notes. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys next week.